Good morning. Nice to be here. I feel like I've already had church, really. The praisers are just, there's something happening, I'll tell you. I sense it. There's just a phenomenal anointing on them. And I just congratulate Larry and Doris and Jeff. Just fantastic this morning. Thank you. I had a dream this podium wouldn't be, or this thing wouldn't be wide enough. And I guess it is, so it's okay. Boy, you got, because I like to spread out. I mean, I'm a spread out kind of guy. Good morning again, and just a wonderful to be up here. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray, Lord, that the revelation that you've given me, and I pray that I can convey it as you gave it to me, with the full portent of the Spirit in which I received it. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you for peace that passes all understanding. I thank you, Lord, for opening hearts. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for just enlightening us, Lord, with the Spirit that I believe that you've given me, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, I can convey it in Jesus' name. Well, Matthew 18, if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Matthew 18:3, and let's start there, kind of kick this thing off that way, and I'll give you a chance to open up, hi Don, if you have your Bibles there. And basically, I'm going to read from the Amplified this morning. Truly I say unto you, unless you repent, change, turn about, and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all. That's pretty heavy. He admonishes us to come as, again, like little children, lowly, loving, forgiving. You can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all. Now, I've read that over the years. I've been a Christian a while. And I do read the Bible from time to time. And I've read that, and I kind of just blew past it. I mean, I thought, it's whatever. And it never really, really hit me with the full portent of, as it hit me here a couple of months ago. And I think I looked at little kids and I thought, well, what could they really know? And again, I just didn't relate to it. And I think that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit as we're traveling along this spiritual path, is that at different points we'll read Scripture and necessarily we don't relate to it. And then all of a sudden we read something and it just lights us up. And that's what happened here. And I think one of the reasons that my question would be, why does he say that? What is Christ looking for? What's God looking for? What does he want us to become as he admonishes us and encourages us to become like little kids? I mean, this flies in the face of who we are. I'm an older guy. I could say old, actually. I don't know about elderly. I don't really hate that term, but in any event, let's just kick that out of our vocabulary. But the reason why is, as little kids, when we look at little kids, I mean, I have grandkids, and unfortunately, they're all getting old now. And I remember when they were 3 and 4 years old, they were just, oh my God, could you do enough for them? I mean, George and Doris, can you do enough for those little guys? No, you can't. They're just so, and I'll use the word magical. I know I'm in church right now, but I'm going to use, I like that word, so I'm going to use it. There's something magical about little children. They're just phenomenal. They're loving, they're naive, they're trusting, they're everything that, they're just phenomenal. I mean, they just warm our heart in so many ways. And we're daddy to them, or we're mommy to them. But in this case, let's just call it daddy. We'll be simple. And that's what God wants us to be. I believe he wants us to be little children, like little children. So one of the things he can do is he can love us as a daddy loves a little child. It's tough for me to get my adult kids on my lap at this point. I mean, it just doesn't look appropriate, you know? I mean, they're a little heavy, and it just isn't as appropriate as it was when they were little guys. And this is really what God's looking to do for us. He's got so many things to tell us and so many things to share with us. And that love is so great that he has for us. I don't think we've even scratched the surface of the love that God has for us. It's infinite. It's incredible. And I think it's one of the reasons he gives us children and pets. I mean, you know, we lavish our love on our pet. We love our pet. We love our kids. And I think this is one of the ways he kind of can show us a little bit, just a small token of what he really has for us. He also, I think that one of the things that happens when we get comfortable like little children being with God is that we can receive everything he has for us. We can receive the spiritual things, not only the love, but just a full understanding of what our inheritance is really all about. And our inheritance is faith, hope, and love. And I know that one of the things that came to mind as I was preparing this is I came from, my mother was an incredibly generous woman. And Christmas time was just, she just turned it on big time. I mean, she'd go out and get the garland, the fresh garland, and decorate the house. We lived in Michigan, so occasionally, once in a while, I think it snowed. Not very often, but it did snow occasionally on Christmas. But it was just that Christmas Eve, in the build-up to it, the wrapping of the presents and all that. Oh, my gosh. I mean, Christmas Eve was just, sugar plums dancing in your head is low-key in comparison to what it really was at our house. And I go to bed that night, and this is what God yearns for us to be in this day and hour. He wants that imagination. He wants to bring that forth in us, like little children. I think that's one of the things that we missed, and we begin to get bleached out of us as we get older. And, I mean, can you imagine? We all believed in a guy in an elf in a red suit, flying around. How do you ever got to everybody's house? I don't know, but as a kid, I didn't really try to figure that out. It was as long as he got to my house, that's all I cared about. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, it was a phenomenal event, Christmas Eve. It was just, when you think back, I mean, I don't know what kind of home y'all came from. I have a feeling that probably everybody certainly had some presents on Christmas morning that Santa had left. And the other thing I remembered as I was putting this together was the imagination. And this is one of the things that we revel about children, is their imaginations. They're not only innocent, naive, trusting, and enthusiastic, but they've got an incredible imaginations. And I remember the street that we lived on, this was in Detroit, it had a lot of potholes. And not really potholes, but it was just kind of uneven. So when it rained, you always had puddles. And I remember me and my buddy, Johnny Ryan, who lived a couple of doors down. And, you know, back then when you went to see your friend, you didn't knock on the door. You called for him. You remember those days? Johnny! You know, you'd yell out, whatever. He'd come out, and I'd say, well, come on, we're going to go fishing. We'd be about 5 or 6 or 7. And then those days, you could actually leave your house, and your parents didn't worry about you too much, as long as you were, you know, out there where they could probably get a view of you. We'd grab sticks, put strings on them, and go down, and his mother would say, come on now, bring the fish back for dinner. I mean, these are the kind of things that our imaginations would take us as children. And this is kind of what God wants us to, again, try to rekindle in ourselves. Also, kids are not cynical, which as adults we are. Well, anyway, Jesus knew the inevitability of adulthood. And I like that phrase. I came up with this as I was putting that together. The inevitability of adulthood and the pitfalls of being an adult. As a matter of fact, as we look at the word adult, dulce in Spanish is the word for sweet. This is where our word adult or adultery comes from. And when you put an A in front of something, you negate it. This is where the word adultery comes from. It's negating the relationship one has with one's wife. But adult, children are sweet. Adults are, well, we're a little different. But we come to God with a lot of baggage. And I think as we get older, it's just part of the process of getting older. We keep kind of gaining opinions in the form of knowledge and all those kinds of things. And I want to talk about opinions because this is something that I believe, and I'll talk a little bit more about this here in a few minutes. Don't worry, George, I'm not going to be here all day. But Anyway, opinions, I'm going to define it. Opinion is a belief or judgment that may be based on knowledge or simply just emotion. And I think God is getting weary of some of our opinions. We've got opinions on everything. We've got opinions on mid-trib, pre-trib, post-trib. Some people believe in hell, other people don't. I've got friends that actually believe we're in the thousand-year reign. I mean, they span the globe as far as opinions. And I think that the opinions that we have can sometimes separate us. They can divide us. They can do a lot of things that are counterproductive to not only our unity, but in a way, they're counterproductive to what God wants to do in us. But in putting this together, the other scripture that God gave me is it's Luke 10:39-41. I'll give you a moment to go there. I'm going to talk about an amazing woman, a phenomenally amazing woman. And her name was Mary. And she is when I first read this, and I've read this for a long time, and I probably didn't use these words, but I was putting this together, the word airhead came to me. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to her or anything like that. It just didn't ring true to what a responsible person would do in this situation. But let me read the verse here. And Martha, she had a sister named Mary who was seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me to lend a hand and do her part along with me." But the Lord replied to her by saying, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Now the title of this, which I didn't give you initially, I just forgot, is called The Better Thing. Choose the better thing. This is what Mary chose. But what makes this such a memorable, incredible event that happened was that Mary defied logic. She didn't justify herself. Now when you think about it, I mean, if you were putting on a big dinner or whatever, we would want help. But she sat bravely at the feet of Jesus and didn't try to justify herself, didn't try to defy logic, because the logical thing to do, the normative thing to do, was for her to help out. I mean, that's just a natural thing. Here's the question today, church. Here's our challenge today, and I believe it's a huge challenge. In this day and hour, in this new transition, are we going to be able to do the same thing Mary did? Or are we going to be pulled into being politically correct, to being traditional, to being the things that we've always done that seemed logical? And this is what really began to kind of take hold of me as I put this together. What an incredibly brave girl this woman this was. I mean, she risked social ostracism in a certain sense. She risked everything. But she had the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in there. Mary worshipped at the feet of the true, authentic symbol of grace, Jesus Christ. And I really got, as I thought about this, and the Holy Spirit kept revealing more and more, I was more and more impressed with Mary. Phenomenally so. And I wondered, do I have the chutzpah, so to speak? Do I have the strength, the courage to be what she did at that moment in that hour? That's the question. That is the true question, I think it really is. Because I think we're all going to have an opportunity to be at that point, at some point, and more quickly than we probably realize. That's the question.
What's the right term? It needs nerve, to have the nerve to do something.
That's right. One of the other scriptures that really jumped out at me that I thought was, in earlier days, I got to be truthful, guys. when people talked about being born again, and I'm serious, this is just me, so I hope you're not me. You're not, obviously. I always thought being born again sounded a little messy and a little corny. And that was just my take on that term. I really didn't get it. I mean, I got it, but I didn't get it. And as I was putting this together, John 3:3 came up. And it kind of says in the same, and I'll let you turn over there because I think it's important that we read it. It's John 3:3. And here we go. Jesus answered, "I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that unless a person is born again, anew, from above, he can't ever see, know, be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God." Now, we're not born as adults. We're born as children. We're born as children. So this, again, is speaking to Matthew 18:3. God really wants us to be like little kids as we approach him in this transitional time. And that's pretty strong. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that unless a person is born again, he can't ever see, know, be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God. We're always talking about the kingdom. We always speak of the kingdom. That's kind of one of our goals. The other scripture that jumped out at me was 2 Corinthians 5:17. You don't have to go there. But that talks about being a new creature in Christ. Nowhere does really God talk about, in reverent terms, old, that I recall. We've all talked about the new wine. We've talked about new wineskins. They're not old. It's not old wine he wants. It's not old wineskins. It's new wine and new wineskins. So he's really encouraging us. He's really encouraging us to be open to the new. I did mention earlier, God's really weary of all our opinions. He really is. He puts up with us because he loves us, but what he's really looking for is that spirit of Mary. Without clamor, without that spirit of Mary that just worshiped at Christ's feet. That's what he's really, we're not going to turn into the 24 elders, so don't worry. On the other hand, he really wants that spirit of Mary to come forth. God gave me quite a bit on opinions. And I know we've talked about John the Baptist decreasing and Jesus increasing. My honest feeling on opinions is mostly they divide us, they empower us. Now the world is all intrigued with empowering. That's all you hear about. You know, I really don't like that term, but opinions many times increase us, and the way that they increase us is that they begin to justify us. Our opinions begin to define our adulthood. They begin to justify us. And God had a lot to say about justifying ourselves. Christ is our only justification we'll ever need. We don't need anything other than Jesus Christ to justify. And this, again, is Mary. When you look at the story of Mary there as she worshiped, she didn't justify anything. Martha did. And Jesus really caught her up for it. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And when it talks about children, in that first verse I read you in Matthew 18:3, it says lowly. So as we're looking for more grace to be a part of our everyday lives, the unmerited favor of God to show us our inheritance. Jeff mentioned inheritance. Ray prayed about new this morning. I was kind of enjoying listening to both you guys. We're really to be more humble than we've been. And I'm not so sure that opinions, when I have opinions on everything, I'm not so sure that I'm not becoming kind of prideful in my own covert way. I mean, in the church, we're cool about pride. We are. We're covert. We don't want people to know necessarily that we are, because it just doesn't, it's not a good thing. The thing that jumped out at me as the Holy Spirit was giving me this word was, and I'm going to not talk too much more about opinions here, but I do want to mention, they can really make us know-it-alls. And that's dangerous. You know who knew it all? Who really knew it all? The Pharisees. Pharisees knew it all. That was right out of the Word. They knew it all. What good could come out of Nazareth? They knew it all. They were know-it-alls. And their opinion, by their opinion, they missed the whole thing. Particularly when Lazarus died. I always kind of chuckled about that. That was not, Bethany was not more than a mile and a half from Jerusalem. And they did not walk over to see what was going on because they knew it all. They knew that couldn't be the Christ. They knew it couldn't be. Because what could come out of Nazareth that was any good? You know, so that's sometimes what can happen with opinions. And you know, one of the things that Christ that the Holy Spirit was really adamant about, world doesn't need more Pharisees. World needs people that are really filled with the Holy Spirit, that are really truly acting like Christ acted. There was something happened to me at Christmas time this past Christmas. I must be sensing my mortality because I sent 66 Christmas cards. That's a lot of cards for me. I really got into it, and I just said, bless that person, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden, I felt like God was saying to me, Fred, you know, all my son really did. I mean, obviously, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to talk about dying at the cross. We all know that was beyond huge. But what he did in his ministry was really two simple things. And I said, well, what was that, God? He said, extended grace and he blessed. And that was the two things that Christ did. And he said, I challenge you to do the same. I challenge you to do the same. Extend grace and bless. And as we do that as a body, I believe the world will begin to pay attention to us in a favorable way. I think it will become a program of attraction and not promotion. I think the love, they'll begin to know us by our love. And that's the most important thing. We are in a new season. We all sense it. We know it. David's talked about it. He's talked about a transition. Another word, of course, is season. And at this point, God is looking to ask ourselves, what opinions and distractions are preventing my childlikeness? What opinions do I have, or what distractions do I have in my life? Because these are the two things that were in Martha's life that prevented her from doing, my God, she had the Son of God. She had God in her house, and she missed it. I mean, that's always really amazed me. But what opinions? She had opinions. It was supposed to be this way. You're supposed to help. This is... Think for a minute. What had happened if she hadn't helped? Maybe Jesus would have made the food himself. I mean, maybe nobody needed to help. So if we go that far in imagining what could have happened, that could have been possible. Jesus could have manifested the food. Might have been like better than Outback. I mean, who knows? But what opinions and distractions? And I love to challenge myself with questions. It's always fun. What opinions and distractions do I have that are preventing me from being childlike? As well as a man, I mean, come on. We got to be macho. I mean, unfortunately, I'm not shedding a tear up here. That's just always mortified me. But anyway, I mean, that's one thing we can't do. But what other opinions do I have as a male in this culture, just in the way I was raised? What things are preventing me from being the childlike person that Christ has encouraged me to be? What opinions do I have? I don't know. I got to really think about that. And I challenge each of you today to think about that. We don't want to be Martha. We want to be Mary. This is what God's calling us to be. So let's endeavor to be those new wineskins. Let's endeavor to be the new wine. And I believe that the new wine is truly an outpouring of God's grace in ways that we haven't really realized it before. I believe there's a revelation of grace coming to the body of Christ. It's just going to be absolutely beyond belief. It's going to be beyond what we've ever sensed or had revelation of before. One of the reasons God doesn't want us as adults is we just can't receive all God has for us as adults. Just impossible. It's impossible. We have to go back to that time in our life when we believed a guy in a red suit could deliver every person in the world a present on the same night down a chimney. He was bigger than the chimney. Go figure that one out. Anyway, I truly believe that the best is yet to come. I really do believe that. The best is yet to come. And it's kind of interesting because as I've prayed for people the last 3 or 4 or 5 months, often, and I know Bill would witness this, Marty as well, Marty. I, with full faith, and when I've prayed, I've said, ended the prayer by, and may the best be yet to come. The best is yet to come. I've actually said it more affirmatively than that. So I really do believe that. Our heart's cry, or God's heart's cry for us, is to be the Mary. It really is. God's crying for us to be this at this time. He's crying for us to forget about this, forget about that, forget about all our opinions, forget about our attitudes on this, and just be what Mary was. He worshipped at Christ's feet. And the reason why is, I want everybody to turn over, if you will, if you've got your Bibles, turn over to John 14:12. If we haven't read this in a while, we need to go read it. God doesn't want a spiritual club. God wants us to grow in the Lord. And we do have a great commission out there. That hasn't gone away, guys. We still got that out there. It's still there. God so loved the world. We all know that scripture. But John 14:12. Says, I'll read it out of the Amplified. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. That's it. That's God's goal. That prophetically will come true. That is prophetically going to manifest. There's nothing going away that's in here. It's all prophesied and it all will come true. And that's pretty exciting. And I think that's the reason that he's encouraging us to recapture. And I know we're an older group. We're an older group. We're not 8 and 9 years old or teenagers in here. We got a fairly older group here. God bless us. But he wants us to go back to, you know, being childlike again. And in closing, as we approach Jesus like a child, a proper alignment takes place. This alignment produces in us the same faith, hope, and love that fill Jesus' ministry. As the person of Jesus is clearly revealed in us, they, the world, will know us by our love.
Received the word this morning with joy. Father, we thank you for speaking so clearly to our hearts and imparting your life through these words that we've received. Amen.